2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 11 through 21. This is the reading of God's word. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For we are besides ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will work in us, that your word will be preached correctly and we'll be able to hear your loving voice through your word, telling us wonderful stories of Jesus Christ. Oh Father, you have promised us that faith comes from hearing of your word, and we pray that as we hear your word, our faith will grow. And with that growing faith, we will witness Jesus Christ in our lives to bring glory and honor to you. Oh Father, we pray that as we consider your love for us, that love will control us, that it will compel us to live for your glory. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to look at verses 11 through 14a today, and it will take us about 4 or 5 times to look at this section. So let us begin. Verse 11a. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord. It refers back to the judgment seat of Christ of verse 10. And we already looked at that last time. Again, the fear here is not the terror that comes with the eternal judgment of hell. And we already talked about this last time, so let us go on. This fear is something you might call the holy fear. As in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7a, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Knowing the fear of the Lord makes us persuade men. Persuade of what? Yes, our job is to go out and persuade men, but persuade of what? Verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This reconciliation with God. And you and I, we know it very clearly. Only through Jesus Christ, believing what He has done and what He has accomplished for His people, we are able to be reconciled with God. And that is what we go out and tell. We persuade men. This is the job of every Christian. Verse 14a says, for the love of Christ controls us. We know that the fear of the Lord is not the only thing that drives us to persuade men of the reconciliation with God in Christ. Yes, that will do it, fear of the Lord. But also, according to verse 14a, for the love of Christ controls us. Knowing how much Jesus Christ loves us, knowing that that love made Him, that what that love has made Him to do for us, it will control us. And we're going to look at that verse more in detail next time. In other words, knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ drives us to do His will. Because Christians, we do not do anything out of fear or guilt or greed. Some churchgoers will do some services because they're guilty. They feel guilty, and doing those things will get rid of their guilt or their greed. Believing doing those things, God will give them bigger house or better car. But for true Christians, what drives us to do what God told us to do? What drives us to make an ambition to please our Lord? In our section, two things are clear. The fear of the Lord and Jesus' love for us. That love of Christ makes us love Him back. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we love because He first loved us. And that love makes us not fear in terror of His judgment. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 and through 18, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. One that is in terror of this punishment of God doesn't understand this love that Paul is speaking of. But even as we say that, the holy fear of the Lord is always necessary. Now here, Knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. Persuade, pleading, convincing. Persuading men of the gospel. But this is very, very difficult in this world. Why? Because this world is all about appearances. If you look at verse 12, latter part of verse 12, verse 12b, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearances, and not in heart. By that, we are now able to conclude that, remember, there are many false teachers who were attacking Paul. And these false teachers are described as people who take pride in appearances. Verse 11b says, but we are made manifest to God, and I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. What is he saying? God knows us. See, we are made manifest to God. Everything is revealed to God. God knows our heart. And Paul says, I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. God knows us, or we are known to God. He knows our hearts. God knows why we do what we do. God knows for what we do. When we do it, it is for His glory. And, Paul says, it is our hope that in your consciences, you would also know our hearts. The world will follow those who take pride in appearances, but it is our hope that you are not like the world. That like God, you also know us and our hearts. And in saying this, we are not, verse 12a, we are not again commending ourselves to you, he's saying. We are not again self-recommending ourselves to you. It is not to prove to you once again that we are genuine. Do you remember what he says in chapter 3, verse 1 and 2? Are we beginning to commend ourselves again? Or do we need, as some, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You are our letter, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. You already know who we are and what we are about. And I'm not saying all this, Paul says, to recommend, self-recommending ourselves to you again. If anyone knows what we are about, it is you, Paul is saying. So verse 12, we are not again commending ourselves to you, but then what is Paul doing? Are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearances and not in heart. Even though so many follow those who take pride in appearance, but you will be different. Verse 12 says this word, appearance. This world has the same meaning. This word has the same meaning as the word the flesh in verse 16. And we're going to look at that verse next time. But verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. And here, these false teachers, they take pride in the flesh. Or pride in appearances. But according to the flesh is the same thing as according to this world. In Galatians, the world or flesh is compared or contrasted with the Holy Spirit. So this appearance or flesh or this world, it all has the same meaning. Paul has already taught us that it is the Holy Spirit who has written in our hearts. So according to verse 12, the opposite of appearance is heart. According to Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. So flesh is also opposite of Spirit. And if you recall, then you already know that the Old Testament laws were all about appearances, not hearts. For example, adultery. When somebody commit adultery in the Old Testament, it was all about outward adultery. Moses, with the law, could not deal with their hearts. In the New Testament, Jesus says, if you just look at woman lustfully, you commit adultery. But Moses, with the law of the Old Testament, could not do anything about that. Because Old Testament was all about outward appearances. As long as you did not commit adultery outwardly, then you're okay. So you gotta put all these things together. So appearances. It's about the world. It's about the flesh. But it's also about the Old Testament. And you know what Paul is doing. In chapter 3, he compared the Old Testament with the New Testament. And he's continually doing this same thing as he argues his point. Sin in this way, then, according to the flesh or according to this world, is opposite of according to the Spirit or according to the heart, and according to this world is opposite of according to our heavenly reality. So put all these things together. Yes, brothers and sisters, this sinful world judges according to appearance. Now, we need to be very careful before we go on. And this is a very important point. The world uses the same phrases. The sinful world also distinguishes the difference between their understanding of appearance and heart. Even non-Christians will say, don't judge a book by cover. But we are not saying the same thing. You need to really, really careful here. But for us, the heart of the non-believer, even inside of non-believer, is still according to this world. Thus, it is still according to appearance. And you must distinguish this, otherwise you're not going to understand what Paul is saying. Because world says the same thing. You should see inside, not just outside. But for us, for non-Christian, inside and outside, they're the same thing. It's according to this world, according to the flesh, according to appearance. These people, false teachers, take pride in appearance. False teachers judge everything according to this world. So this is the question. Is Paul truly pleasing God? And if you judge everything according to the world, Which means you judge everything according to appearance. Which means you judge everything according to the Old Testament. Then Paul is not it. Look at him. According to this world, if you are working for God and God is pleased with you, God will bless you. But look at Paul. He's just suffering. And those who take pride in appearance cannot accept Paul. Period. They say, look at him. It is so clear that he is not. And what is their reasoning? If he is man of God, then God would bless him with all kinds of power and all kinds of abilities. He's not even eloquent nor persuasive. Look at him. He's not like a professional. Yeah. Not eloquent at all. And we're not just making this up. Paul tells us what these false teachers are saying about him. Go to chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 10. For they say, his letters are weighty and strong, but his personal presence is unimpressive, and his speech contemptible. This is what these false teachers are saying about Paul. And this is not just, you know, they're saying without any reason. Paul was not really impressive when it comes to speaking. He says, chapter 11, verse 6, but even if I am unskilled in speech, yet I am not so in knowledge. So he even admits it. He's not good in speaking. So these people are saying, oh, when we read his letters, man, he's so impressive, so strong. But in person, very, very unimpressive. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is what Paul says, same, you know, Corinthian letter here. 1 Corinthians, though, chapter 2, verse 1. He says, and when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom proclaimed to you the testimony of God. It's not the eloquency of Paul that he was a great apostle. If you come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7, when he's saying all these things, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 7, Paul says to these people, you are looking at things as they are outwardly. You just look at outwardly. But again, don't confuse with the world when they say, oh, don't look at outwardly. We're not saying the same thing. You really need to get that point. You just look at things according to this world, standards of this world. But we are of heart. God knows our hearts. And I pray that you would also know our hearts. The false teachers also accused Paul of being too narrow, too stubborn, too strict. They say, oh, Paul goes too far. He's like a madman sometimes. You know, he's like crazy. Too much. That's why he says in verse 13, for if we are beside ourselves, some translation, if we are crazy, then it is for God. And if we are of sound mind, then it is for you. Or NIV says, if we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. What is he saying? Against this accusation, Paul's mad. He's crazy. Well, even if I'm crazy because of God. Whether out of mind or in right mind, it is all for God and all for you. And he says in verse 14, the love of Christ makes us this way. The love of Christ controls us. Love of Christ makes us not listen to what the world says. But we are already known to God. God already knows why we do what we do. What is our purpose? What is in our heart? God already knows, and that's enough for me. Because it really doesn't matter what people say. Jesus, his love, makes me, even when the world see me, they think I'm crazy. To a point where the world accuses of us being crazy. His love controls us. No matter how difficult it gets, we do not adulterate the word of God. Especially the church like ours. There's temptation of being, I don't know, how should I put it, nice, so that no one here gets mad and leave church. We're already so small. I need to be very careful what I say, because what if I make you angry? And you leave. But again, God knows our hearts. And I do, like Paul, pray that you know my heart also. Because by this time, if you don't know where I'm coming from, I don't know what to do. No matter how many people do not accept, we do not water down the gospel. In your life, not fully persuaded in pleasing the Lord, is not okay. It really is not okay. You are sinning. Yeah. And people don't want to hear that. You know, they say things like, man, the world is already difficult. And, you know, I'm just attacked by the world left and right. And I come to church for, you know, comfort. And here again, I'm being attacked. No, you will be comforted when you repent. But if you have no willingness to live for Christ, then what comfort do you want? Comfort comes when we repent. And we love Him with everything we have. So I pray that you will determine to please the Lord. Everything you do, everything you say, everything you think. Then comfort definitely will come. False teachers also argue, look at Paul, if God has sent him and blessed his work, then where is his success? Look at him. All he does is just suffering. Yeah, he's not it. You know, I remember, this is a long time ago, one very successful Korean pastor, we're in the parking lot of his church. And behind us was a, you know, big building, you know, church building. And in front of that street, he was building another big building. And he knew that I wasn't impressed about his teaching. Well, actually, not just not impressed, but I think it's wrong. And he was pointing to these buildings to me. And he said, look at that. God is blessing me. God is blessing my ministry. God is happy with what I do. So why are you so against what I teach? Look at this is the proof. All these buildings and success. This is the proof that God is pleased with what I do. So why are you so against me? That was his argument. And that is exactly what we see 2,000 years ago. If Paul is man of God, then why is all he does is just suffer and suffer and suffer? Because they take pride in appearance. It is all about what is outside. Meaning, how the world sees things. Chapter 10, verse 12 and 13, for we are not bold to class or compare ourselves with some of those who commend themselves. Yeah, how can even, like, I compare with these people who are so successful? But when they measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, they are without understanding. But we will not boast beyond our measure. But within the measure of this sphere, which God appointed to us as a measure to reach even as far as you. God will use however he wants to use all of us. And I'm not going to go boasting beyond my measure, but the measure that God has permitted to me to reach to you, all of you who are sitting here. This is my measure. We do according to our measure that God permits. We do not boast beyond our measure. Yes, we do not have the appearance of success. Rather, we have the appearance of carrying about in our body the dying of Jesus. We have the appearance of being afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. Yes. According to appearance, according to the world, Paul is not a man of God. Paul is an imposter. But we are of hearts, not appearances. Look, we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17 and 18, but he who boasts is to boast in the Lord. For it is not he who commends himself that is approved, but he whom the Lord commends. Yes, for you and me, all of us will stand before the judgment seat of God, and it is Jesus Christ who will tell all of us whether what we did is pleasing to him or not. You don't let the world judge you. And this is not just about ministry of this church. This all, it's all about your life. You don't let the world judge you. Because all of you, well, at least like 95%, I could say, of you, you're not that successful out there in the world. Does that mean God doesn't love you? Does that mean you're not of God? Because if we judge by appearance, that's the conclusion we have to make. Because if God blesses those he is pleased with, then I don't think God is pleased with us if he blesses with worldly things. Those who take pride in appearance, they are this world-centered. And thus, they hate sufferings and persecutions. Their God is their belly, and they set their minds on earthly things, the Bible says. Christianity is not about gaining this world, but it is about overcoming this world. Let me say that again. Christianity is not about gaining this world, but Christianity is about overcoming this world. Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. You put yourself in disciples' position. Here's your master, and your understanding is that he's the Messiah who came to set up this earthly kingdom so that you may live well and live happily. And here's the Messiah who says to you, well, I'm going to be suffered. I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to even be killed. So, verse 22, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. What are you talking about, Jesus Christ? What is this suffering? Or even being killed? No, you are to conquer the world and give this world to us. What are you talking about? God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. And what does God say? But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Yeah, anybody who takes pride in appearance will say, just like what Peter says here, and you say to them, get behind me, Satan. We refuse to be judged according to appearance, according to the flesh, according to the standard of this world. And we also refuse to judge anyone according to appearance. Only in Christ, only according to the heavenly reality that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Now the world may say all kinds of things about our church that will judge us according to appearance, according to what is seen. But you know what our church is about. Yes. Test in your conscience. Test it. And if you really believe that our church is for our Lord Jesus Christ, then our church gives you many occasions to be your pride, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. If you really believe that Christ and heaven is for the glory of God, and I pray that this church is made manifest in your conscience, then you must be all in. If you do not understand this church and the purpose of this church, then who will? If you are not all in, then who will? And all of us, if many, many of us believe that this church is not it, that this is not for the glory of God, then I believe we should have a congregation meeting and decide to close this church down. But if you really believe that this is, then you have to be all in. We have to do everything that pleases the Lord. Brothers and sisters, is this church worth having? Or to you, really doesn't matter. If this church closed down, you could find another one. If that is so, then you have to speak out, because I don't want to waste my time. And I don't think you want to waste your time. And I'm not asking you anything that the Bible doesn't ask you. You know, I wish. What I hear from you is this. You always come and say, no, I have something, so I cannot be there, or I cannot do that. I wish you could go to your school and say, I cannot do that, I have church. I wish you could say, you could go to your work and, I can do that, I have my church. It's always the other way around. Are you all in? Is this church worth to you? Otherwise, you speak out. Don't hide in your heart. You became members, and you have responsibilities as members. I believe God knows my heart, and I truly wish and pray that you know my heart, that where we are coming from, why we do what we do. And if you're not with that, then what are we doing? We are gathered as this church to worship our God and make this worship number one priority in your life, more important than your life itself. And I guarantee you that will please God. You're not doing this for me. Oh, no, no, no. It's okay if I lose my job here. Don't do it for me, so that I could continue to get my salary. Please, no. You do it for God, just like I am doing this for God. And if we're not together in this, then I need to know. I really need to know. And let us restructure this in any way that pleases God, and we'll do it. But this I hear so many times, you know, where else can I hear this kind of message? You know, if we don't have this church, then where could I go? I don't know. Many times I feel like it's all lip service. If that is how you truly believe, then let's all in. You know, I wish there will be one day that instead of me coming to you and say, let's do this, but that you come to me and say, let's do this and let's do this. Come on, Pastor Kim. We have to do this. I never hear that. And I'm not here, seriously, I wish I could just open my heart and show you. Seriously, I know God will use me somewhere, somehow, some capacity. And God will use you same way. But He gathered us at Christ in heaven. And like Paul, I feel just like Paul. You know, I manifested unto God, and I wish that you guys know what we are about, so that this church, whatever we do, it is giving you an occasion to be proud of this church and ministry of this church, so that you will have an answer when these people speak in terms of this world. And I really believe, as a pastor, having this kind of same desire that Paul has, I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. Bible study is for you. If we don't do enough Bible study, you should complain. But this is wrong. Why do I keep asking you to come out? Because it is for you. It is not for me. It is for you. This church is for you. Yes, you have more important things and more bigger things out there, but come on. Worship and one Bible study a week. Are we asking too much? Maybe for you, we are asking too much. But let's really think about this, you guys. And, you know, in January, we're going to have a congregation meeting. Great opportunity to speak your mind. And I would like to know that we are all in. Let me finish by reading chapter 6, verse 8b and verse 8b through 10. You and I, we are regarded as deceivers and yet true. As unknown yet well known. As dying yet behold we live. As punished yet not put to death. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. As poor yet making many rich. As having nothing yet possessing all things. This is who we are. The world does not and will not understand us, and we do not expect them to understand. We don't even wish they understand us. But our goal is to please our Lord Jesus Christ. Besides Jesus Christ, we desire nothing on this earth. Yes, we might be crazy to this world, but even if we are crazy, it is for our God. It is for our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for establishing a church here in this place and gathering us to become one body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, let us truly examine ourselves. Are we living our lives to please you? If not, let us truly, truly repent. And Father, let us truly understand your will for us. What is your purpose for us? And let us obey your will. Let us live for you, live for your glory. Bless us, God. Bless your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.